Is the world fair? Is the world kind? Do bad things happen to good people? You know, when you live in a world of uncertainty like that, it's nice to know that there's something that you can depend upon. Something that you know is going to be faithful and true. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated for us the one thing that is faithful and true, agape love. You know, another word for demonstration might be procedure. Procedure. A demonstration of something. What does love look like? Because if we don't notice what it looks like, how can we reproduce it? That's our goal, is to reproduce the love of Christ to a lost and dying world, that they may see the love of Christ in us and have a desire to then be compelled to follow after Christ themselves. Well, in First John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we get a little bit of the procedure of love. Begin reading with me in verse 16, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 24. By this we know love. It's about to come. By this we know love. And then he's going to explain it. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Let me read that again. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, the love of God is never in that person because they're manifesting it by their lack of compassion. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, this is our heart. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us to love. He gave us his commandment. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given in us. You know, if I was to kind of grab one verse in that whole passage that kind of draws our thoughts and minds together to the truth of the procedure of God's love, it would be verse 23. It says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. See, that's, do you guys notice the natural progression? In order to love one another, you have to first do what? What precedes it? Believe. Without belief, we cannot truly love. Without Christ in us, we cannot be Christ to a lost and dying world. It is an imperative to, and if we are not loving others, that's a strong challenge for us to ask ourselves, have we truly believed? So what is the procedure of love? Well, there's three things I want us to see in our text today that I think are important. As I mentioned earlier, the world that we live in is a harsh place to live. For the most part, people live from day to day from paycheck to paycheck in a dog-eat-dog existence. It's only the strong survive mentality out there. It doesn't matter what job you're in. It doesn't matter what occupation you have. It's a harsh world that we live in. The way the world is putting itself first, love self, provide for self. Even churches today are preaching, have your best life now mentality. That's just the way the world is. But the Bible is very clear that the way of the Christian is to be vastly different than the way of the world. We are taught in the Bible that genuine love for brethren is our calling card, according to John 13:35. We are taught that genuine love enables us to fulfill the commandments of the Lord, Matthew 22:37-40. And the passage that we have before us today reveals a procedure or truths that we are to be pursuing on a daily basis. In fact, if you back up to verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." He goes on to tell us that our love for one another is one of the strongest proofs that we are believers in Jesus Christ. Verses 14 and 15 of our text. These verses that we've read today tell us that if our love is all that it should be, it will display itself in three clear, distinct ways. The procedure will be evident, and folks will see Christ in us as we live our daily lives. These three characteristics of love teach us all that we need to know to make sure that we are manifesting the love of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, it says clearly, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." Can I just point out something that is obvious according to that text? That love is extensive. Love is extensive. It knows no boundary. True love. The Bible says, what greater love than one could have than to do what? Lay down your life for a friend. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. You know, earlier in the passage of, and also in John, or Genesis 4:8, we see the example of Cain. And Cain sets the biblical example of what self-love is all about. Not walking in obedience, but making our love relative to what we think it should be, rather than allowing the love of God in us to manifest itself through the Spirit of God in us. Jesus, on the other hand, sets a standard for loving others. His unconditional, sacrificial, selfless love is not only a testimony to us, but a challenge to us to step up and be as Christ to a lost and dying world. The extensiveness of his love is a challenge to us to go the extra mile, to do whatever is necessary, to never quit for love's sake. He loved us as much as it was physically and spiritually possible. He loved us so much that while we were enemies of God, he died for us, Romans 5:8. See, the Bible is trying to tell us that genuine God-like love knows no boundaries. It sets no limits. It draws no lines. It doesn't matter how many times I'm unfaithful. It doesn't matter how many times I hurt you. If I love you, my love has no boundary when we love through Christ in us. Which is why the Bible tells us the measure of forgiveness. And there is no measure of how often we give forgiveness. Just an extreme unreasonable example that none of us will ever experience. See, true love, as evidenced by Jesus Christ, never says this far and no further. True love is without limits. If I really love you, then no sacrifice is too great, according to the example of Jesus Christ. Genuine love knows boundaries. It knows no conditions. It freely has given and asked nothing in return. My question for me and my question for you here at GBC is, do we love others like that? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at chapter 13. As the Corinth church is being admonished, I would admonish this church today. This is what love looks like. This is the expectation of love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I become as a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. In other words, we're just making noise. Are you just making noise in regard to true love? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. In other words, the works of your hands, the talents, the things that you do, what are they if they are not done in love? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, my works there profit me nothing. See, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things, and love endures all things. See, because love never fails. The next time that person that God has put in your life that is so annoying, whether that be your husband, your cousin, your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, or me, or the person sitting next to you, seems to pull that last straw, seems to get on that last nerve, remember, love never fails. It's extensive. There is no boundary. There is no limit. It's not really our choice to quit ever, because Christ didn't quit on us. Amen. The second thing I want us to see is that love was expensive. Look at our text. Go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Not only was it extensive, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Listen. Love doesn't come cheap. Love's going to cost. And it's not just the money it's going to cost. It's going to cost you your pride as you have to humble yourself before God and His church. It's going to cost you your time. can't just throw money at a problem and think that it's going to go away and you're going to fix it. But sometimes you have to just be there. You have to be present. And that's the best thing you can do. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your resources. Love doesn't come cheap. The example of Jesus Christ demonstrates that for us. What did he give? Everything. Let's just get beyond the physical nature of the sacrifice Jesus Christ made. But before he ever went to the cross, before he ever knew what Golgotha was, he humbled himself to be born of his own creation. You don't think it was hard for Jesus Christ to leave the glory of heaven and the love of his Father, knowing that he was going to come to this world and humble himself to take on in his incarnation the form of his own creation, to be rejected and beaten and crucified by his own creation, nailed to a tree that he grew, and then suffer the loss and separation of the love of his Father that he had known for all eternity. You don't think that was expensive? It kills me as a leader, having led churches, 26 years now, to see people who are just so quick to give up. Just walk away from the Lord. Walk away from the church. Makes me think, have we really considered the cost of what it means to be a follower of Christ? Have we really considered the cost of what it means that why I'm here and present today? Why am I taking the time out of my life? Because someone has taken the time out of their life to invest in me. And so therefore, I want to invest in others. Even if it's not easy, even if it's hard, even if it's expensive, even if it takes time. It's expensive. It's hard. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be pain. There's going to be hurt feelings. There's going to be times where we don't quite communicate the way that we should. And in those moments, we have to realize that it's expensive. As I think about Christ, and I think about the genuine love that he displayed, it makes me realize, without Calvary, John 3:16 was just empty words. Am I right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Without Calvary, without action, those are empty words. Christ had to die. People who talk and don't really love in action are missing the point of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. People who are insincere might talk about helping, but people who truly love like the Lord reach out and give a hand to those who are hurting. Real love might be manifested by meeting a material need. It might be manifested by lending a helping hand. It might be manifested by listening to a person when they feel all alone. It might be manifested by simply being present. But the bottom line here is that real love acts. Real love is action. Love, and you've heard this before, but love is an action word. We need to remember that he has given us everything that we have in life. that we might use it for His glory. Again, if we want to see what love will do, then look no further than Calvary. And let that be your banner. Let that be your focal point. Regardless of whether it's money, materials, time, He can and will use all that you have to offer. And then finally, love is expressive. Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, genuine love doesn't just talk, but it acts. Real love is manifested by meeting needs, real needs in other people's life, whether they're emotional, whether they're physical, but we should express that love in meeting that need. There are countless ways in which we can show the reality of our love for the brethren, but the bottom line here is it's got to be more than just talk. His example of love is extensive. The cost of that love is going to be expensive. But the Bible declares to us that they would see, the world will see our good works, and they will what? Glorify our Father in heaven. Faith without works is what? Dead. Dead meaning it's not revealed. It's not seen. Not that you never had salvation. But faith without works is dead. It's not revealed. It's not seen. There's no life. Show me your works and I will show you faith. No work, there's a lack of faith. It's expressive. Listen, if you had some really good news to tell a person in your life, do you regret telling them? Let's just say you're a doctor and you just found out this family that's been struggling and dealing with cancer for a long time, you just found out that their tests were negative and they don't have cancer. Is that just going to slip your mind and, I might tell them? No. Let's just say that someone just, I'm the executor of an estate and someone just got $1 million and you know they're struggling financially and need it. You're going to be slow to give them that information? No. Why? Because it's good news. It's good news. So then how in the world can we, as the body of Christ, having experienced the love of Jesus Christ, the way that we have seen right here displayed for us in just a few minutes, as we have experienced this new covenant and this love and this compassion and this demonstration of love, how then can we as a church hold it in any longer? How can we not be expressive? How can we not proclaim the joy of our salvation? How can we remain silent? Because our neighbors need to hear it. Your coworkers need to hear it. That family member that you're going to go visit in on the Gulf Coast needs to hear that love that you know you have to express. Then there's nothing that you can do to not do it. So let me tell you, as the body of Christ, God knows how extensive love is because it was expensive to Him as He demonstrated it through His Son. And He could not have expressed it any more powerful. Having experienced that love, having seen the procedure, will you be extensive? Will you accept the cost, regardless if it's expensive? And will you proclaim it loudly? Will you be expressive of the love of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the joy of our salvation. As a church family and as individuals, we need to heed the message of love in these verses. Can we honestly say that we love others as we should? Can we honestly say that we are meeting needs, lifting burdens, and loving like Jesus? If we want to be all that he has saved us to be, then Father, we must learn to love as he has loved us, Galatians 6:2. Father, in just a moment, we're going to participate in the ordinance that you have given us to remember just how much you love us. And in that ordinance, we get to see exactly how extensive, expensive, and expressive love is, as you demonstrated it through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we partake of these elements today, we are challenged to be as Christ loved to a world around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.